T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97 on the ticket. Open lines, 248-539-9797. Hope you're good. Other thing with the Red Wings is just, I mean, special teams, right? I mean, score the puck on special teams, which it feels like has been a problem with this team for a while. Now, is it because their high-end players just aren't high-end enough?
I think that's part of the problem.
Is it coaching?
That might be part of the problem. I think the biggest problem the Red Wings have is that they lack overall talent. They don't
that's a pretty
lack
significant
desire.
Problem.
Well, yeah, but I mean, some of that can be made up with heart and desire, and you know, players that just try hard, and I think they've gotten that. But is that all that they have right now? Is that what this team is? Is this team basically comprised of a couple of pretty good players and then a bunch of guys who try hard and probably aren't slated to be more than role players on other teams?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like when that top line was humming along, they look like a different team.
It's top line.
The line has been broken up. It's been disjointed because of, you know, COVID issues and injuries. And I mean, you got to overcome those things. But
they were back together last night.
But ultimately, they're not scoring a damn puck.
No, they're not scoring the damn puck. No,
I don't know why I started saying it that way today. But
I mean, if you want to win in any sport, you need talent. And they just don't have enough talent right now to win consistently. We've been spoiled as Red Wing fans for all those years, those teams in the 80s they were exciting to watch for a multitude of reasons, but also because you had Steve Yzerman scoring 50 goals a year. You get into the 90s, it was a high-scoring team. You bring in the likes of Fedorov and Lidstrom, and it ushers in a whole new era, and then they're the Stanley Cup champions and the dynasty they had there, and that was fun. And then you transition from Yzerman and Fedorov to handing things off to Pavel and Hank. And now Pavel and Hank are done, and Dylan Larkin is good, but he's not great. Yep. Those guys were great. Yep.
Raymond. Lucas Raymond could be great.
Maybe.
Could be great. But, I mean, he's definitely – well, it feels like he's hit a wall. Or it's just a product of a broken-up top line, which could be. Okay, so I wanted to bring this up. And, Kang, this is right in your wheelhouse. You and Evan are hardcore collectors. And – so you're constantly keeping us up to date on what's going on in the collector world, and then, you know, cards and shoes and all that stuff that you guys engage in. Although Evan's the shoe collector, you're a card guy, right?
Yeah, Evan does cards as well, but he's definitely more a sneakerhead than I am.
Okay.
But yes, I dabble in it as well.
All right, so this story is about Logan Paul, who is a collector, and he's a bit of a Pokemon card collector. Now, I needed some explanation on this, not being a collector myself.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently there was this sealed case of Pokemon cards. Like
case has a certain number of boxes.
This one has 6 boxes in it.
Only 6.
First edition Pokemon cards.
But imagine, like, when it gets shipped out to Target or Meijer or anywhere that would sell these cards, the case was unopened.
Yeah.
So sealed. And
like cardboard, you couldn't see inside of it.
Yes,
you know, shipping and receiving.
So there's six boxes inside this case, and it was authenticated, right?
Yeah. So as best you can authenticate something, I'm not, you know, I don't know how they there's certain ways they do this, but they went to get the box authenticated to make sure it was a real sealed Pokemon case. Like it came from whoever, you know, makes Pokemon cards. And they go through the scans and the taping of it and all this stuff. And they said, yeah, this is this box contains, or this cardboard box contains 6 boxes of Pokemon.
Okay. So, you know, a boxer and YouTuber, Logan Paul, as a Pokemon card collector, bid on it.
Well, he didn't bid on this. He
bought it. Yep. He purchased it from another collector.
Mm-hmm.
For a lot of money.
$3.5 million. So this guy.
Let me just assume I understand this. So it's a case of cards.
Yeah.
That's sealed in a cardboard box. So the cardboard box is sealed. So you don't know what's inside the cardboard box.
You don't know what's inside
the cardboard. You're assuming it's Pokemon cards.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay. So this is, it's not like they opened up the cardboard box to the reveal, here's the case of Pokemon cards.
No, it's not like see-through or anything like that. They didn't open it up. It's sealed.
So it was like double sealed.
Yeah, it's to preserve the, even more so that they didn't switch out boxes for other boxes. Like this is a untouched, sealed case of Pokemon. 6 boxes inside.
Gotcha.
And presumably, you wouldn't be able to find one of these anywhere else.
No, it's been so long. And so to get it authenticated, the guy said, yeah, that's real. There's boxes of Pokemon cards in there.
And then rumors started that it was a fake. So Logan Paul had this question. Do I open it to truly authenticate that it's not a fake? But once it's opened, its value?
Devalue
this. Yes.
But then you might as well open up the packs or sell the boxes off, you know, because the cards inside can value up to more than what he paid for.
Wow. So he had this question of what to do. Do you know what he did?
I think I know what he did.
He opened it.
Yeah.
And much to his relief, when they opened it, they looked inside, and there were the sealed boxes, 6 sealed boxes of Pokemon cards. But then they were looking at the boxes, and I guess they didn't look right?
No, they did not look right. They were kind of puffy. Maybe they were these resealed? It just didn't look like...
They looked like they were tampered with of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
As my...
And didn't say first edition on him either, so that's a huge sign right there.
As my little guy would say, they looked sketch-ma-getch.
Sketch-ma-getch.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So they proceeded to open them up, and inside there were G.I. Joe cards.
So they were, are they unsealed packs of
No, they were packs of G.I. Joe cards, sealed packs of G.I. Joe cards.
Sealed packs of G.I. Joe cards.
Someone just put packs in there.
Are G.I. Joe cards worth anything?
No.
Oh.
Like nickels.
So somebody not only went to the extent to empty all the cases and put all the boxes and put G.I. Joe cards in, but then sealed up the boxes and then sealed them up in the original case and managed to get it past an authenticator. Which apparently the authenticator was hilarious. Like, boy, this happened to all of us, huh?
He goes, we all got duped. And they're all like, no, man, you got duped, dude.
No, you're the one who authenticated it.
Yeah, we bought it because you said it was real.
Well, there were Pokemon boxes.
Right.
So.
Ish.
First of all, what ripples of consequence are there in the world of collectors that an authenticator got duped?
That's the biggest thing here.
Well,
that's
this guy's
biggest
reputation is done.
Exactly. So he generally
find
does
a new job.
Yep.
It's Baseball Card Exchange. They generally do sports cards, but they decided to authenticate this Pokemon. But now it got everyone else thinking, what about my sports cards that are authenticated, that are sealed by you guys and authenticated? Is that really a 1986 Fleer Michael Jordan rookie card possibly in here, or is it more G.I. Joe cards, right? So yeah, that's the huge fallout from the collecting community is like, dude, how many boxes have you guys authenticated that aren't real?
So that's the question with this whole thing. I mean, there's a few questions. First of all, Kang, do you have anything that's authenticated?
No autographs, but I can see those. Nothing that's sealed.
Okay. Okay, so you're not sweating out now that you have something that's...
Well, for the most part, there's cards that people kind of they replicate and reprint, but those usually are easy to spot. So once those get authenticated, you're good to go.
See, but with this story, I mean, I get that there's more mystique if you've got a big cardboard box. It's been authenticated to hold within the cardboard box a case of other cards. But at this point, now that this story is broken, if you've got a cardboard box that's been authenticated and it's sealed up, would it lose value if you open up that cardboard box? Because now you got the scam going on. So now I would imagine the if you open the cardboard box to reveal the case of cards of whatever it is, whether it's Topps baseball cards or Donruss or Fleer or whatever, Upper Deck, whatever the case is, that at least now you really know if you can authenticate it. So wouldn't it be more valuable now?
To open it?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, you're hoping the contents inside value more than what you paid for it, but you don't know. You know?
You don't
that
know.
I understand okay. The whole part about the mystery of the cards that are inside the box, but I'm saying with this, you know, controversy going around.
You want to open it and say, hey,
just
this
open
is
up
real.
The open up the cardboard box and let's make sure that the case of cards that you have there looks like it's been untampered, and we can validate that. We can, you know, give that the proper credentials.
But it's a tough call because you perhaps will be devaluing it in an attempt to authenticate it.
But in a way, but are you, though? I guess
no,
that's my question.
No, because people want
to you.
The whole thing as whole. Like, for example, you could piece it off. I could sell one box to you for $100,000, another box to you for $100,000, right? Or people want the whole thing because you got every single card that was supposed to be in that case. Because you're looking for specific cards, and you have a better chance if you have the whole case untouched. Because a lot of times people open up a box, get the good card, and then sell the rest of the packs. Those packs are worthless. You already got the good card. So people want the whole thing.
All right.
So
when it's sealed, they know they're getting all of it, and it's been untouched.
We've done this with tickets before, but we're not looking for tickets. We are looking for things that you bought that were fake. Things that you bought that were fake. Kang, you have a great one. Yours made me laugh out loud. All right, the fake thing I bought. Look, let me also say, I don't feel the least bit sorry for Logan Paul. I don't like Logan Paul. Unfortunately, it sounds like the guy that sold him the fake box of Pokemon cards for $3.5 million.
That guy's screwed.
Yeah, he's refunding Logan Paul. And then he's going to chase the $2.7 he paid for the case. I don't know where this ends up. Probably nowhere.
Yeah. I don't feel sorry for anybody that has the wherewithal to afford $3.5 million to pay for something like this.
Sure. Years ago, my oldest, who's big into baseball, went through a Ken Griffey Jr. phase where he always wanted the swingman stuff with the logo of Ken Griffey Jr. I know you hate him, sorry. But
sorry. Not your son. I like
right,
your son.
Sure.
It's fine.
Yep. But he wanted the Ken Griffey Jr. like they were these high-top shoes with the number 24 on them. And one year for Christmas, looking, couldn't find them, ordered them. They showed up like 3.5 months later. They were shipped from China, and they weighed like 12 pounds each.
Those are heavy.
They were fake Ken Griffey Jr. shoes.
It's amazing. I have more respect for Ken Griffey Jr. now. He was able to do what he did with 12-pound shoes, 24-pound shoes.
You sure those weren't like the calf-building weighted
shoes?
No,
they weren't. They weren't, but they were clearly fakes. I should have known better, but I was like, ooh, I can afford these. All right, sweet. Bought them, and they didn't show up for Christmas. They showed up for like March.
St. Patrick's Day. Here you go, son.
Hey. Yeah.
And when he got them, he was like, yeah, I don't want these. And they did look totally janky. Like, you knew right away. I knew right away. I was like, oh, this isn't.
Did you turn to your son and go, we've been duped, right? We've all been duped.
Any one of us could have
bought it. This is all of us.
Yeah. You bought it. You actually, it wasn't you that bought the fake.
Yeah, it was my mom. As a kid, you know, playing sports and things like that, you love all the Nike and the Jordan stuff, the shirts and the shorts. And my mom had gone to this flea market. Right there, I know, flea market. But, you know, as a kid, I wasn't there. So she comes home and she says, hey, you got this great deal on all this Jordan stuff. She bought like 5 or 6 T-shirts and shorts. They had the Jumpman logo. You know the Jumpman logo with Michael Jordan?
Yeah.
Legs are spread and he's got the one arm in the air.
Yep.
And I looked at it and I'm like, why is the ball by his wrist?
The ball's like rolling out.
Yeah. Is this the layup Jordan? Or the,
wow.
He can't. So, the fake one can't.
It's like
palm
a tumor
the
coming out of his wrist, like, as opposed to him being able to dunk a basketball.
Oh, so it was clearly a fake. I felt
not
bad.
A tumor.
Yeah, not a tumor. Is that Boston again? But yeah, so I told my mom, you know, I still appreciate it. I still wore it, even though my friends made fun of me, and I, you know, it was fake, and she knew not to do that next time. But
I wish. Do you still have that stuff?
Yeah, I do. It's in
so
like a
great.
Box in the basement.
Honestly, you know what you should do? Just as kind of a joke, is frame it.
Totally.
Frame it and
then
display
it. Then authenticated
it.
By my mom?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, 100%. That would be great.
That's authenticated by my mom.
Yeah. That's better than like Steiner.
Yeah. PSA, whatever. Yeah. Beckett.
Here's a great one from Jeff. Hey, Gator, I got these JBL speakers. Meet me at my trunk after work. They're still in the box. I'll give you a good deal.
Well, for that liquid cooled, I bought
the liquid cooled off the back of a truck at Arborland when I was in high school. They sucked. Where am I supposed to put the liquid? Yesterday, I bought a replica Jack Fox jersey. I didn't want to pay full price for the real one, especially for a punter, but I couldn't pass on the replica. It's embroidered, too.
I mean, at least he knew it was fake.
He's going all in. He is not blind. The wool is not pulled over my man's eyes.
I've got a bunch of autographed photos that I bought from eBay years ago. I have no idea if they're, I mean, some of them came with certificates of authenticity.
Yeah, right.
I didn't care if they were real or not. A lot of them just don't even matter because they're like just athletes that I really admired, but I don't think anybody cares about a Harvey Martin autographed photo with the Cowboys.
Sure.
But there's a couple of them that I hope are real.
Like
there's,
what?
There's one that it's a pretty sweet autographed photo of Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier.
No, that's going to be tough.
Is it real? Is it not? I don't. It did come with a certificate of authenticity, but this is back in like 1998, I think, when I bought it. It spent a decent amount of money back then. It was a couple hundred bucks. So I don't know if it's real or not. I also don't necessarily want to know.
Yeah, right.
It's like, right. It's a great photo. The autographs are done with Sharpie, but it's like a gold Sharpie pen. So it's even a cool signature on
there. Stands out.
Yeah, or silver, one of the two. Yeah, I think it might be silver Sharpie, but it's great.
Unnamed texter. Last Christmas, my mother gave my little brother a PlayStation 5. She thought she got it on sale for only $200. Clearly, it was fake from a Chinese website. It was a scam.
Oh.
$200?
Yeah.
If it's under retail, you got to think like, come on.
I'm getting a deal.
Yeah.
Sketch McGetch. Hogan writes in, I collect Funko Pops, and I've definitely gotten some bootlegs, not as cool as Pokemon or G.I. Joe, but still. I don't even know. What are Funko Pops?
They're not bobbleheads, but
those are like the little, they're like squished down versions of like stuff, not a stuffed animal, but so, right?
It's like the new age. It's not a stuffed animal. They're plastic. It's like a
like
new
toys.
Age bobblehead kind of. They're cool. They're just little small trinkets or statues or figurines.
Figurines, I guess that's the best way to put it. Yeah.
This is great. During college at Adrian, I stopped at a gas station, which had these sweet black and yellow Jordans for $100.
Oh my God, what a deal.
Thought I was hot stuff till I wore them in an intramural basketball game in which one shoe completely exploded like Zion's did.
Hey, maybe it was just...
It was just this guy's athleticism.
He just couldn't be contained.
Probably it. Andrew at work, I got duped on a pair of Oakleys in Jamaica. I paid full price. I looked at them closely when I got home, and it was spelled O-A-K-L-Y.
Well, good thing you waited till you got home to look at them closely for $200? All right. We got this one from Mike. I was at a Tigers game this summer. Some guy tried selling me a coconut. I think it was fake.
Ha, 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 ha.
Oh, so great. 248-539-9797. Phone calls and feedback.
Let's... You never know, man. You can find a place that's got a coconut. I just want to make sure that you're prepared in case stuff goes down.
Justin's in Clarkston, and he's next. Hi, Justin.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
I bought a motorized boogie board at a family party. I convinced everybody to buy one. 2 months later, they sent us all Minnie Mouse pool floaties.
So you bought all you saw it online and thought you were getting one thing and you got something completely different.
Yes.
Well, that's just bogue.
My entire family bought one.
Oh no.
So it was kind of like the joke.
How much were they?
They were like $150-$200 each.
And how much would you value the pool floaties you got at?
Probably about $5.
Well, that's an online purchase. Isn't there some sort of insurance or like a makeup policy? Oh, sorry, we shipped you the wrong thing. Did they rip you off or did they just ship you the wrong thing?
It was all done through PayPal, so we all got our money back.
Okay.
But, we all got duped.
Yeah, you turn to your family and go, we all got duped, right?
All,
right. Yeah, all of us, right? It wasn't just me telling you guys to buy it.
It happened to anybody. Not just me.
I bought a guitar online years ago that looked amazing in the photos, and it's an amazing guitar. It's a great guitar, but did not look the same as it did in the photo because the photo, somebody photographed it very well. Yeah. Right angle, the right lighting, and it looked like it was almost like this gold tinge to it. And I got it, and it's like not anywhere near gold tinge to the wood on it.
We know that you love collecting guitars and things like that. Does this happen a lot in the guitar world? I'm sure it does with any.
Oh, I'm sure it can. Where, like for instance, if you're going to buy a vintage guitar online, something from like the 60s, like Doug, your dad's got this amazing Fender Stratocaster.
Yep.
I know it's real because he bought it back in 1962 or whatever it was. So it's real.
When he was the lead for his band, Freddie Fredo and the Corn Chips.
Yes. If he were to sell that, people want to see and make sure it's authentic because stuff like that is faked all the time. And the only way to authenticate it, unfortunately, is to take it apart and look at like the pickups and see if the pickups on it actually have a date.
Yeah, I did that. And then it's authentic.
Yeah.
Here you go. Counterfeit Gibson guitars from China have become so popular that people don't care. They're sold openly as fakes called Chipsons, even though they still have the real name on them. I think everything on AliExpress is fake.
It's like women with bags and stuff. Sometimes they know they're fake, but you can't afford a really, you know, expensive one, and you're going to get a knockoff. Same thing with guitars and the Gibsons. Like they openly know, hey, this is not a real Gibson.
But. Yeah, well, so, I mean, and some are just like if they're produced outside of the United States, then you know it's not. I mean, like for instance, a Fender guitar is more valuable if it's a U.S. Fender as opposed to a Mexican Fender guitar. Still make them in Mexico, but it's not the same thing as getting one from the United States. But some of those are just total knockoffs, scams, and no good.
Let's say, like, I don't know who your favorite guitarist, Hendrix, Clapton, whoever. You get a guitar, and there's a used guitar from that artist in the box, but it's sealed. Are you the guy who's going to make, well, no, I'm going to leave it sealed. It's worth more that way, or are you going to open it up and be like, I got
to
know?
No, I would have to know. I mean, I'm not going to buy something without knowing. I mean, I need to know.
That's what people do in cards, as if they get authenticated.
Can't do it. I can't do that with a guitar. Because I want to play it anyway. I would take it out. That's not me. I understand other people would do that. Like even buying collectible cars, right? People buy them and never drive them. I don't understand that. How do you buy something that beautiful and not want to take it out?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.